We continue our journey through the Sermon on the Mount, and today we come to Jesus teaching us his prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer because he taught us to pray the Our Father. And we reflect on this prayer in the presence of our sister, the remains of our sister Lena, who died 40 days ago. This can help us, I think, reflect on the Our Father, and the Our Father can help us reflect on the mystery of death, death and life. I don't know how many of you here know Lena or knew Lena. I think many of you. I know her from my earlier days when I first came to the Philippines, and Anua was connected to work in the Last Supper Parish and in Holy Family Chapel, and Boy and Lena were very supportive of us, and we seemed like we were together for many things over the years. So when I heard last month or 2 months ago she was in the hospital, naturally we were praying for her. She had COVID-19. Boy too, and I don't know, anyone else in the family, did you also have it? And if the daughter also. So it was a real heavy time, and we were, I think they were on our prayer chain. So the whole family on the prayer chain. And then it got worse, and we prayed for her, and then the Lord took her home. And you were still in the hospital then, or were you home already? You were in the hospital, so we couldn't do anything. We couldn't visit her, we couldn't have a wake. There was no way to pay our respects. It was a real contradictory period of time, and I'm sure very heavy for the family and for anyone who loves Lena. Now it's been 40 days, boy's recovered, the daughter's recovered, people are, and we have an opportunity to reflect a little bit more deeply on this, what strikes us as a terrible tragedy. And also it gives us a chance to reflect on this whole pandemic again. You see, part of the problem with the pandemic is that people keep looking at it without eyes of faith. And so they think, oh, this is the worst thing that could happen to us. They say, oh, this is the worst thing that could happen to the world. The worst thing would be to catch COVID-19 and then go to the hospital and then die. That's not the perspective of faith. I hope you will put up with some of my foolishness. St. Paul in the first reading says, put up with my foolishness. The foolishness of faith tells us that's not the worst thing that could happen. I'm not minimizing the grief of the family. But the worst thing that could happen is to be separated from God forever. That's the worst thing that could happen. To die and go to be with God is actually a good thing. And for sure, Lena is in the presence of God now. In fact, she's better off than any of us because she's with God. So that's the faith perspective. People who think that the pandemic shows that there's no God or shows that God doesn't care about us, they're missing the whole point. This pandemic should be drawing us closer to God, should be reminding us that we are dependent on God, that we are not in charge of the world, God is in charge. That we are not the Father, we're the children. And when we pray to our Father in heaven. This is part of what we should learn. Now, as I say, I'm not minimizing grief. I lost my own mother just last year. And my parents' anniversary was just a couple days ago. I lost my father just a few months before that. I know what it's like to lose loved ones, of course. And we all do. We have lost loved ones. Many of us have lost loved ones to COVID-19. This is a time of deep sorrow. But it's not a time to live in fear. It's not a time to live in despair. It's a time to draw closer to God. So I'm very happy to be able to have a Mass for Lena. We couldn't do it during when she died. We couldn't even visit the family or anything. It was all virtual. But here now we can, her remains are here, there's a beautiful photograph of her smiling at us, and we say, well, what would she tell us if we could hear Lena speak to us? She would say, COVID-19 is nothing. That's what she would say, it's nothing. Let me to God. Don't get so caught up in fear of COVID-19. That's not the perspective of faith. The more fear we have, the less faith we have. The more faith we have, the less fear we will have. That's the foolishness of the gospel. Okay, so we are, in today's gospel, we are taught to call on God our Father. But before Jesus tells us how to pray, he tells us how not to pray. Do not babble like the pagans, who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Now, we don't know what we're doing most of the time, let's face it. We do babble a lot. Not that we're deliberately doing it, but we don't know what is God's will, so we pray and pray and pray. We prayed for weeks for Lena, that she would be healed. That wasn't babbling, I'm not saying that. But we didn't know that God was going to call her home. The point that Jesus makes here is, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So when we're praying, we're not telling God to do our will. We're asking God to unite us with his will. Otherwise, we're babbling. So if we're insisting that God should do things our way, then we're not praying properly. What we do when we pray, Lord, heal her. Lord, save her. Lord, save us. Heal us. Your will be done. And that's at the heart of the Our Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We are children of a loving Father. When we pray, we are entrusting ourselves to God, our loving Father, who has greater plans for us than we have for ourselves. Of course, the loved ones of Lena experienced this deep loss, and it seems like a very bad thing. Of course it feels like that. But in faith, we know it's not that way. Maybe I'm being too blunt, I'm sorry, but it's not that way. God's plan is better. He has something better than us surviving forever in this world. He has a better life, a better world, eternal life in communion with him and the angels and saints. And that's what we're here for. When we pray, your kingdom come, we don't mean make this heaven on earth. We mean unite this earth with heaven, the real heaven. And our whole journey in this world is about arriving at communion with God. Here in Ottawa, we're in the middle of a study of the Our Father. We're following the series of catechetical teachings that Pope Francis gave a couple of years ago. In fact, we're doing one of them this afternoon. But in this study, we're being reminded that the Our Father is, the whole church keeps reminding us of this. The Our Father is one of the most perfect prayers ever written, ever prepared. Perfect prayer, a complete prayer, a summary of all prayer. We don't have to say more than what we say in the Our Father. We do say more because we have lots of things in our minds and in our hearts, but it's all included in the Our Father. The Our Father is at the center, the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, kind of like the peak. The Our Father is at the very heart of the Mass, of every Mass. Between the consecration of the Eucharist and our reception of the Eucharist, we pray the Our Father. It's like in the very middle, the very heart of our longing for communion with God. As if praying the Our Father is what prepares us to receive the Eucharist. Anyway, in the course of our study of the Our Father, what I do is I take the talk of the Holy Father and then I make comments on it. So at some point, a few weeks ago in my research, I ran across an article that said that the Our Father includes all the sacraments. Now, maybe you've heard this before. I never heard of such a thing. I said, what in the world is that, all the sacraments? It's a prayer is only this long. How can it include all the sacraments? So I lost track of this article, so I have no idea who wrote it. I think it was a laywoman, and I don't know where it was published. I probably it'd be easy to find, look it up on the internet, just Our Father and the Seven Sacraments. But her point was, they're all included in the Our Father. And the reason why I like this is because it gives us another insight into how complete this prayer is, how vast the petitions are. Because we know the sacraments are our whole life. If we're in Catholic life, the sacraments are the pillars of our life. We start our life with God with the sacraments, and we end our life with God with the sacraments. And look, was Lana able to receive the anointing? Was she anointed? Prayer with her. Because, I put, no one, priests can't go into the hospitals and anoint people. If the chaplains don't get there, then it doesn't happen. But the point is, certainly her in her heart, she's a very faithful woman and a very dedicated to the church, so she would receive all the sacraments if she had the opportunity. But you know the sacraments. There's seven sacraments, and there's three sacraments of initiation, then there's two sacraments of healing, then there's two sacraments at the ministry of communion. So the initiation of baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, then the two sacraments of healing, confession and anointing of the sick, and then the two sacraments for that are really for others, that is marriage and holy orders. So we know that. But how are they connected to the Our Father? Well, according to this woman, now I don't remember it, I might be misrepresenting her thoughts, but this is what I remember of it. When we say Our Father, it's a reminder to us of baptism, because at baptism we became children of God. So as soon as we say Our Father, we're acknowledging our baptism. We're, in a certain sense, celebrating again that we have been baptized, we've been made children of God. Whenever we pray for someone who has died, we always go back to the moment of baptism. At baptism, she became a child of God. Now she's with her, and now she's with him in heaven. And that's how we celebrate baptism. Baptism is a sacrament for eternal life. Then, hallowed be thy name. The idea of honoring the holiness of God's name and making it known, according to this reflection, is especially connected to the sacrament of holy orders. What's a priest's job? To sanctify, to offer sacrifice, to sanctify, to make everyone holy and to make everyone know the holiness of God. A priest, well, actually all of us have that job, so don't leave it all on the priest. We're all supposed to be following the call to holiness and making the holiness of God evident in the world, hallowing the name of God, yes. But the priest is especially set aside for that work. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. She connected that, this is a little bit of a stretch, to the anointing of the sick. Because when we're sick, and we don't, we think what we should get is healing. But the sacrament of the anointing of the sick is a sacrament of spiritual healing first. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Of course, the Eucharist. What's our daily bread? Here, this is a daily mass. The food that we receive is the bread of angels, the bread of eternal life, the Eucharist. And this is, in some ways, the heart of the Our Father, that Our Father feeds his children, us, and he feeds us with his own life, the body and blood of his Son. Forgive us our trespasses, confession, the sacrament of penance. How do we receive a guarantee that we are really free from sin? When we go to confession and we hear the priest say, I absolve you. I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are free from sin now. In this woman's reflection, I hope this is not too insulting to any married people, but I think she was a married woman herself, the author of this article. She said that this passage, as we forgive those who trespass against us, is part of the power of the sacrament of marriage, because married people are always offending each other and forgiving each other if they're living their marriage. they are living a life of reconciliation, reconciling love. And this, the power of the sacrament of marriage is unity. Unity of two sinners who sin against each other, maybe every single day, and who reconcile every day. So forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is not my idea. This came from that article. But I think it's not a bad reflection. Because our efforts to forgive one another are supported by the sacraments, especially by marriage. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the strength that we receive from confirmation. Confirmation is a sacrament that strengthens us in the way of God, that confirms us in the journey of holiness, that gives us the strength to resist temptation and to overcome the evil one. Okay. Now, maybe for someone who's not familiar with Catholic life, that would sound like a very strange series of reflections. But I hope you who love the Catholic faith and love the sacraments realize that when we pray the Our Father, we are implying or inserting ourselves right into the heart of the life of the Church. The life of the Church is the life of the sacraments, and we are every day being renewed in this life, which is a life that goes beyond this world. Again, I'm connecting it to the journey of our sister Lena. She's not living in this life anymore. Her remains are here before us. She has gone to the other side. We've gone into eternal life. And that's where we're all going. That's where we want to go. We want to be with God. And the sacraments are for our journey to eternal life. Thanks be to God. He gives us life, not only life in the next life, He gives us life here. It begins here and extends to eternal life. So that's what we reflect on as we offer our condolences to the family and the loved ones. We also pray for a renewed faith and hope in the gift of eternal life, and renewed awareness that we are children of God, our Father, who knows what we need before we ask Him, our Father who is in heaven, our Father who forgives us, who gives us our daily bread, who saves us from temptation and from the evil one, our Father whose will we ask to be done on earth as it is in heaven.